Welcome to the interview edition of The Basics of Life with Rob Salvato, the lead pastor of Calvary Vista in Vista, California. These are the basics
of life. Today on The Basics of Life Conversations, I am so excited because my guest is Christian recording artist Phil Wickham. You know, I've actually known Phil since he was in high school because he attended the school here at Calvary Vista. And he was a very talented young man back then. But it has been amazing to watch how the Lord has used his music to bless so many people for so many years. And the thing that I love so much about Phil is despite his huge success, he's a very humble guy who has a genuine and contagious love for Jesus. In this conversation, Phil and I are going to be talking about his Christmas album and what this past year has been like for him. So now, here is my conversation with Phil Wickham.
Thanks for having me on, and it's good to hear your voice after you know, when you hear voices that just, it's like hearing a song that takes you back to a time in your life, as your voice does to me. It's like, it's cool. It's just remembering Sunday nights and leading worship with Evan.
Yeah.
Sandy.
We kind of go back a long ways, you and
do.
I.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
For those that aren't familiar with your podcast, they might not know. But yeah, I went to school, all 4 years of high school, at Calvary Christian. That was the high school there at Vista at the time.
Yep.
And so which made me be a big part of the youth group. And then a really great guy was the youth pastor for the first couple of years, and a great guy for the second couple of years too. Scott Cunningham, who really just kind of gave me a chance to lead in the youth group. And then before I knew it, me and Scott and my brother Evan, who was on staff at your church as well, we were leading Sunday nights and writing songs for the church and for the youth group and leading at the summer camp. So, man, Calvary Vista was a huge part of my teen years and development. And then Jason Duff, who's a pastor in Palm Springs now, is that correct?
Yep, the Garden Fellowship.
He's such a great Bible teacher. He was a youth pastor there too, and it's really spoke so much into my life. And we would meet and get yogurt at an icebox. Remember that?
Yep.
And so just what a formative, special time. And I'm so thankful, you guys gave me a chance to serve at such a young, dorky, weird age where I could have been any kind of guy, you know, and you guys just gave me a chance just to sing about Jesus. And, it really was a huge part of my discipleship and growing up. And so thank you for that.
Oh, Phil, I'm just so thankful for, you know, that time and, you know, being able to be a small part of your story. I remember so vividly, taking you to Scotland on a mission trip.
Yes.
And I remember Mallory being on that trip. And I think that might have been even the beginning of something happening with her, at least. I remember, I won't go into the details, but a little conversation with her. I think it was on the airplane coming home. And
amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But such great memories. And again, I just am so blessed by what the Lord has done, you know, with your life. And I tell people this all the time, you know, things I really, really appreciate about you is, you just have a genuine and contagious love for Jesus. And I love your humility, even though, you know, you've had incredible success in what you do. And yet you're just such a humble guy that loves the Lord. And I just really appreciate that about you a lot. I want to start by just asking you, what has 2020 been like for you?
I'm just going to go right to the jugular there with the 2020 question. Man, I think in some ways, I think we can all relate. You know, we've all seen the same news headlines and grieved over stuff and been uncertain over stuff and freaked out over things and what in the world is happening. So I think in some ways, it's been like this global, relatable source of potential anxiety and stress, you know, if we let it be.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, it's been just probably like your 2020 or people listening. But for me specifically, you know, I've spent about a third to a half of my life since I was 18 out on the road at events and worship nights and tours and traveling. And that just got swept off the calendar from second half of February till, you know, there's a few things here and there. And actually there's something right now that slightly opened up that I'm literally calling you from a green room right now. We could talk about that later, but and so I had a lot of time at home, and honestly, when I let it be, and when my heart, I think, was in the right place of just believing that God's in control and that he's got things covered and just living in that trust, it really brought a lot of freedom into my life. But also I just saw the blessing in it for me, where I could be a consistent, a consistently home husband and a consistently present father. And even I found waking up in the morning and having a routine of being with Jesus and having when I think about my quote prayer life before 2020, it was existent, but it wasn't consistent. And that's one thing I've been very thankful about, is just digging into, realizing I was relying a lot on doing for God, you know, to like, be like, yeah, we're, and not really like making it an intentional thing of just being with God, as much as I could have been. And not like a guilty, like, wow, I've squandered the first 15 years of my adult life, you know, but just in a like, wow, there's so much more blessing than I ever imagined. Just being quiet with God and letting his word, just even a verse at a time, be a part of my life and praying it into my heart, and just having the time and the consistency to do that has been incredibly life-giving, and has changed, and is, and in the way his God's word does, just little by little, just affected me in a positive way as a dad and as a father and as a songwriter. And even now, as things have opened up here and there in certain states or cities with, you know, 30% capacity rooms or whatever,
right,
or outside concerts, I just have a new, even I found a new freedom and excitement just to do what, man, what is it in Colossians where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with, you know, singing together, admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's just kind of like my new vision verse for my life. Just like,
love that.
Just like using songs to spread the word of truth to people's lives. So I just feel like 2020, it's been tough. And I could look at a lot of negative things and reasons to trust God extra much, you know, but
yeah.
I think there's a lot of positives to what God has done in my life.
You know, I love that, Phil. And I think anyone who is a follower of Jesus, who has leaned into this thing, I think has experienced exactly, you know, what you're talking about on some level, where it's brought us to a place of a deeper intimacy, you know, with Jesus, and brought us to a place where, you know, coming and realizing a renewed vigor maybe in our prayer life or our devotional life. And I think that, you know, comes though from, you know, having to lean into it rather than, you know, I know some people who've just been complaining through the whole thing, and I don't think they've really experienced much of anything. But if we lean into it, you know, God's able to work. And you mentioned right now you're on a little Christmas tour. Is that right?
I am. Yeah. The last 12 years, I've been out doing a Christmas tour with my good buddies, Shane and Shane. And it's just kind of become a tradition and a reason for us to hang out every day. But for some reason, people keep showing up, so we keep doing it. And usually we'll do 10 to 12 nights. And this time around, we're just doing 5 nights throughout Texas, which has a little bit more of a lenient vibe than some other states, as Texans do. There's still, you know, sanitizing stations and masks and all that and 50% rooms. But they've actually been really, really special nights. I can tell people seem to be very thankful to have a reason to gather and to celebrate Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Well, I've been to that tour that you guys do, you and Shane, and it's amazing. Such a blessing.
Thanks.
Yeah, really, really love it. And I hope you guys keep doing it.
That.
Now, in the midst of this year, you actually got some pretty cool news that your Christmas album that came out last year, last December, was nominated this year for a Dove Award. How crazy was that?
It was cool. I I remember like hearing about the Devil Wars when I was a kid and thinking like, oh, that's cool. The Christian artists, if for those of you who have no idea, you're listening, you're like, what's a Devil Ward? And is that like a Grammy or something? And I'm going to say it's almost completely not like a Grammy, but slightly. it's at first I was kind of like, wait, Christians give each other awards for singing about Jesus. And I guess you can look at it in a critical way. But once I started being a part of this whole community and going and just seeing how everybody cheers each other on, it's really just a way to, I mean, honestly, in it, it's just a way to celebrate like what God has breathed in some songs or an artist or is raising up new artists. And it's just a reason for us to say, man, what a gracious God that we can do this and sing about him and it affects people's life and in big ways or small ways or whatever. And so all that being said, that's my Devil Award caveat moment. But yes, it did get nominated for a Devil Award and it actually won.
It did.
Fun.
Oh, wow. Yes. So I didn't know that. When did you find out it won?
The virtual Devil Awards happened at the end of October.
Okay.
And,
I missed
and
that.
So I actually couldn't watch cause I can't remember what I was doing. I was doing something where I couldn't watch. And then I just started getting a bunch of texts like, hey, congratulations, Mr. Christmas guy. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know,
oh, that's awesome. Well, I love this album that you did. We play it all the time at our house around Christmas time. And there's some great songs on. I want to ask you, I'm going to tell you what my favorite song is on the album, but I want to ask you, what's yours? What's your favorite song on that album?
Well, one thing that I found while singing through this album is how amazing some of these old Christmas songs are. You know, like they become, especially these Christmas songs, they become like soundtrack to walking through Nordstrom or
right.
getting groceries. Do you know, like it's you almost like don't listen to the lyric just because you're so used to hearing,
yeah,
la 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 la, you know, or whatever it is.
Right.
And so when you're in a studio and you're actually singing the song, and you have to sing it 20 times in a row, you start realizing you're like, you know, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more made. You start singing through it, you just like, by that 14th time, you're like, wait, these are mind-blowing lyrics.
Yeah.
And so like, I didn't realize honestly, until I did this record, I didn't realize Hark the Herald had such deep theology. I thought it was just like another, I don't know, just another Christmas song.
Right.
And so I would say that the old songs, just because I was so surprised by where the verses go and how deep it goes, Hark is a, I just love reminding myself of those truths. And then I would say of not the old songs, I've for the first time on any record I've ever put out, you know, I've written other songs other than worship songs and Christian songs, but I just don't end up having an outlet to put them out or time to work on them. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to put the first time I'm ever going to record a love song. I wrote a Christmas love song for my wife, Mallory, and I'm putting it on the record, and it's called This Year for Christmas. And, it's just a full on Christmas love song. You know, I got all I want this year for Christmas cause I got you kind of thing. And so it's, I gotta say it's my favorite cause it's about my best friend and my wife. And I love singing it.
Yes, and Mallory is just such an awesome gal, and I love that song. I love that song as well. It's such a great song, and when I first heard it, I was like, wow, no way, I can't believe Phil. But my favorite song of the, I guess, the Christmas carols on the Christmas album is Joy to the World, and I love the way... And you did this with a few of the songs where you would add, you know, like a something to it that just would make it a little bit more, you know, like contemporary. You added a verse or a chorus to this. And I just love that song. We sing it at our church. And you know, such a great song. How did that chorus that you added, how'd that come together?
Yeah, well, I remember maybe... 5 years ago, you know, I've been doing this tour with the Shanes for quite a while, and we were lacking some upbeat Christmas songs, we realized. And so they said, Phil, you got any upbeat arrangements, anything? And so that just kind of came out of necessity. I sat down at my little desk in my office with my computer open and opened up my music software and just started fiddling around and thought, man, Joy of the World, I can't believe we don't do that song on this tour.
Yeah.
And so I start fiddling around with tempos and beats and all different kind of stuff. And And so once it just, yeah, I don't remember how exactly it happened. It just kind of, I remember one night it was nothing. And then I had this little demo of an arrangement and I remember sending it to the Shanes. I'm like, what do you think? Should we do something like this? And they're like, this is it, man. This is awesome. So I was like, so it's stuck.
Yeah. That's so good. Now,
thank you.
You also did a acoustic version of this album.
Yes.
That is came out this year. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Now, I was wondering about this. Does the acoustic version in your head kind of come out first? Like, do you work on these songs just acoustically or at the piano, you know, before you begin putting together the bigger arrangements? Or did...
That's actually an interesting question. I appreciate that question. It's thoughtful. In a sense, yes. You know, in every song I put on a record, there's always that beginning of me sitting at a piano or me holding an acoustic guitar. If not always, then, you know, 39 times out of 40, where there is the acoustic version that what the chorus started with or the idea started with or the whole thing was written by. And then it gets brought into the studio and it's like, okay, how does this turn into something I want to play live? And what's this song for? And what moments is it supposed to serve? And there's lots of questions I like to ask myself and lots of places I like to envision playing different songs, because different, especially on the more worship records, like my main records that I do, not the Christmas ones, I've definitely visualized a lot of these moments, you know, like, okay, if I'm starting a church service, do I have that song? If I'm starting a concert, do I have that song? If I'm asked to do a response time, like a surrender song, do I have that song? If I'm in this moment, there's lots of little check boxes in my mind to fill. And so then that's how these songs get arranged in the studio. And then the acoustic version then is actually, it's interesting now that I think, I've never thought of it this way, but it's not the version that it started as. It's the acoustic, in my mind, it's the acoustic accompaniment, it's the acoustic version of what happened in the studio for the full band version. You know what I mean? Like it's the next, like I wouldn't have done, when I'm thinking about Away in the Manger the way I did it on the acoustic version of the Christmas record, that's not the way I would have done it if I didn't go through the whole process of having the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting because I probably would have done it different. I might have, instead of doing it as soft, I might have done it a little faster, or did it different key or different chords. So yeah, it all kind of, it morphs and every step adds to the next step.
My wife and I, we just recently went on a little road trip, and on the road trip, we were, you know, driving down the road and we would listen to one song from the first album with the more produced,
yeah,
with the whole band. And then we would listen to the same song again on the acoustic version. And we found ourselves just going like, okay, these sound like some of them sound so different, but it was like we love both of them. You know, it was so cool. It's like I can't say like which one I like better. Like they're both just really, really good, and you know, just great.
Thanks so much for saying that. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
great tunes. The way you put that together, and
thank you. It's fun that because the Christmas record probably took, you know, for all the planning and like getting the songs arranged, you know, it probably took four or five months to record from start to finish. And the acoustic version took 2 days to record and then 2 days to mix. So it's funny that, and honestly, what's probably going to happen is 10 years from now, the acoustic version will probably have more listens and streams on it than the studio version, you know, just how it happens.
Now, why do you think that is so? Or why do you think that's the case?
I don't know. I mean, it's not fact, like who knows, but I think people over the long run, I wonder if they get more attached, sentimentally speaking,
yeah,
to the broken down version. Like it becomes more something they own.
Interesting.
And end up going back. It's like those re-listens, you know?
Right.
And something about like the more raw, a raw version of anything.
Yeah.
Like when I'm thinking of songs I love, when I think of like some U2 songs, I go back to the live, like when there's a U2 song on like a record, but then I fell in love with that song when I heard it on some live record that,
right,
they did later. So that's the version I go back to, because there's just a rawness to it and an authenticity to it that maybe makes it's the one that I emotionally connect with. So I wonder if it has something to do with that.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today, and I hope you have enjoyed this conversation with Phil Wickham. And the conversation is not over. Phil has agreed to stay on the line a little longer, and this conversation will be continued on the Basics of Life Conversations podcast with Phil Wickham. Just hit part two. One of the things I love about Phil is that Phil writes songs with some incredible depth and meaning. So as we continue this conversation on the podcast, Phil and I are going to talk about what inspired some of these songs that are so rich in meaning and theology. So I hope you tune in to the Basics of Life Conversation podcast to hear the rest of this conversation. And until next time, I want to encourage you to keep the basics of your life simply Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Basics of Life Conversations with Rob Salvato, where Rob hosts interviews about culture, life, and ministry. If you didn't know, we're part of the Good Lion Podcast Network. You can find more Christ-centered content at www.goodlion.io. If you're encouraged by today's conversation, would you mind leaving us a review or giving us a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to? And if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. We've got lots of content coming your way at the Basics of Life Conversations.